the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border spies and the humming wise, yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the... Gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
Welcome to Scaredy Cats, the top horror podcast nowadays for the Everything Unscripted Network. We're out here killing it. We're doing the Halloween 2007 remake with Rob Zombie. I'm one of your gracious co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. I'm here with my sister, Mindy. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to get into this movie. A lot of people that know me know that I love Rob Zombie. I also really enjoy his take on horror as well. A lot of people are going to shoot me for that. But he's a very nitty-gritty, gruesome man, and he stays true to what he is, and I like that about him.
Yeah, I completely agree. This is definitely something different, and I think, you know, if you're a Rob Zombie fan, you're going to love this movie.
Yes.
Check this out.
And if you're not, you're going to hate it, so don't even bother watching it.
Yeah, and if you're a Halloween fan, 50-50. It could go either way, to be honest.
You could either like the whole throwback, prequel-less kind of thing that he does in the first hour, or you could hate it.
Exactly.
And if you hate it, then you're not going to like the rest of the movie, because that's basically what it is. And I like that he showed us that, though. Because after 12 remakes of it, well, it's about to be 14, because it's about to be two more from Blumhouse. But I feel like this one is the only one that showed us not only young Michael, but how he grew up. That he had a stripper for a mother. He had a stepdad that hated him, that beat the crap out of him. He had an older sister that hated him, that beat the crap out of him. The only people in his life that loved him and showed him love and he loved back was his little sister, Boo, and his mommy. That's why when his mother got called into the principal's office and got shown all of these gruesome pictures and the cat that he had dead in his backpack, she's like, I don't believe this. He loves animals.
Yeah.
Because he showed her love, because she showed him love.
Yeah.
But I really feel... I really have to agree with Mr. Zombie on this fact, because he put it in here. We kind of toyed with the fact that Mr. Loomis meets Michael's mother before Michael goes on his killing spree.
Yeah.
When he's a child. Mr. Zombie plays with the fact that he could have been saved.
Yeah, he could have.
If he wouldn't have ran out of the school and his mother wouldn't have thought it was horse shit, and Loomis actually talked to him, we wouldn't have a Halloween.
Absolutely. And we'll get into those two things, because I like how Rob Zombie addresses that differently, and we can kind of compare it. We'll get a few plugs out of the way first before we get too deep into it.
Oh, yeah, let's get our plugs in.
Make sure Dirt Sheet Dudes, good quality guys. Box has been on numerous times. We love Box and his buddy Smark. They're on every Wednesdays and Fridays after NXT and AEW on Wednesday, and then after SmackDown on Friday for the wrestling show. Make sure to check that out. Great guys. Also, the Unscripted Wrestling crew, the kind of one of the reasons we're all here and have this, and we started with that. So thanks for continuing to support that. Every Fridays at 6:30. Me, Doug, Eric, Clint, Stevie, it's always a good time. Saturdays, pretty much a free-for-all. It could be settled in the ring. It could be Doug's history lesson, where that's kind of where we do our secondary shows.
And you're going to be bringing back Controlled Chaos, correct?
Yeah, Controlled Chaos is coming back very soon. We're working on kind of a different format / layout for it, so I could have a different co-host. Anything could happen, so we're still working on that. We'll bring that back. That's most likely going to be Saturdays. And then here, 3 p.m. for Scaredy Cat. 3 p.m. is pretty much our time. That's what we've been going on every week. And
we both work like 5 to 9. So this is the best time we can get to you guys.
Yeah, so Sundays, 3 p.m. Scaredy Cat. Make sure to listen to us. And thank you for all your continued support. And we're going to keep giving you great content.
Yeah, make sure you like us. And also, we have our first official Facebook page made called The Scaredy Cats Podcast. Go on there, give it a like. Also, every week I go up and I post what we're going to be talking about on Sunday, and that gives everybody a little bit of a chance to maybe ask some questions and ask, like, if we know certain things. Just give everyone a little bit into the Scaredy Cats community.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're perfectly fine with doing fan interaction and reading you guys' questions on here and answering them. So
absolutely.
Keep that coming, and we'll make sure to, you know, keep diving into that. Now, getting into Halloween 2007 remake, this is kind of big, right? Because, yes, this is a time where a lot of horror remakes are coming, and this is the influx. But this is very different. One, this isn't whatever Michael Bay's production company. It's not those lists.
It's
like,
not Blumhouse.
It's not Blumhouse, but I think there was a...
Oh, no, Michael Bay. Yeah, you're right. Michael Bay Productions did
Platinum
Friday
Dunes.
The 13th.
Yeah.
Yes. They did the Friday the 13th, and they did Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, and Texas Chainsaw and all those. This is different. This is a Rob Zombie movie.
And he doesn't make that many films, honestly. If you go on and see the man's filmography, I think this is maybe like one out of like seven that he's done, maybe.
Really?
Yeah, because he's not really a director. He's a music person.
Yeah, he's picked it up. I mean, obviously, we all know Devil's Rejects.
And also House of a Thousand Corpses.
Yeah.
As well.
The better out of the two. I mean, Devil's Rejects, to me, it's in my top 20 horror movies, and it's probably my favorite Rob Zombie movie.
For me, it's a little it's a little cringy. Just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I would still watch it. It's not something that I'm going to stray away from. But as far as the new one goes, Three from Hell, I know people are probably really going to want to hear our comments and stuff on it, but you guys are going to have to give us a little bit because it just came out. So it's going to take a little while for us to find it.
I heard it wasn't very good.
I heard it tanked.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see if we think it tanked or not.
But what Rob Zombie did in that movie, which kind of works in this movie because people like Michael already, but he made these scumbags kind of likable, right?
Mm-hmm.
He kind of made these, like, terrible, disgusting characters, and they're arguing over ice cream, and you're into it. Now, with this, obviously Michael Myers is the villain and everything, but...
You get to see a different side of
him. Yeah, because at the beginning of the original John Carpenter classic, to me, still the one of the reasons we're all here, but... you just see Michael, you know, kill his sister.
No, you don't even see him kill his sister.
Yeah, you do.
They show that?
Yeah, it's an off-screen kill, but he still, like, kills
her,
and then he's in front.
It's just off-screen, and he's just standing outside by himself.
But
she doesn't
even
have the baby with him. I know she's dead.
Yeah.
But it's very different.
Yeah.
And, like, he is a father.
There's no why, though.
No.
Rob Zombie actually tries to do something different, which I will argue that Friday the 13th and Nightmare did not do. Which, this is not just a simple rehash. He actually tries to get into the characters and say, why did Michael Myers do this? Why was he like this? Oh, he was bullied by this kid who used to be a fucking spy kid. He was, his mom's a stripper, so that makes life very difficult for him.
His sister's a slut.
His sister's a slut, and the stepdad's obviously a piece of shit. I mean, he says the most Rob Zombie dialogue of all, the skull fucking and all that. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude.
I'm gonna skull fuck this shit out of you, city. Yeah, that was bad. That was too much.
But that's when you know it's like, all right, we're watching a Rob Zombie movie.
But actually, a lot of people should know this. A lot of the dialogue that went on with little Michael, and I love this little boy. His name is Dirk. They got him from Canada. This is his first movie. Very, very cute little boy. I really enjoyed watching the documentary with him in it. It was great. But he explained that him and Malcolm McDowell, the one that played Loomis, a lot of their scenes where they were sitting down discussing stuff with each other was actually improvisation.
Yeah.
Those scenes were never actually supposed to have words.
Yeah.
Rob Zombie said that he was going to do it just to music. But the two of them worked so well off of each other and fed so well off of each other that he kept their improv in the film. And I think that's awesome, actually, because he was only 10. What 10-year-old can do improv?
Yeah.
Like a 50-year-old man and hold his own.
And what 10-year-old can look sadistic, emotional, like you feel bad for him? Like he gets a lot of rage in that role.
And also, too, you can see that him and the bigger Michael bonded a lot because you can kind of feel the little bit of, like, scared little kid, I just want everyone to go away and let me have my sister.
Yeah. Oh, that's there for sure.
And I feel, like, hats off to the guy that played him. Very much so. That's very, very hard to get across. And also, Mr. Zombie had said as well in the documentary, it's on YouTube, go ahead, look it up, it's great. He had said that he got asked numerous times by production if the mask that he put Michael in moved. And he said several times, no, it did not. It did not move. I saw it myself. It was a rubber mask, no movement. But because of that man and because of how much of a method actor he was and how well he got into it, it's like you could see his emotions changing.
Yeah.
Even though the mask didn't allow for that, you can still see it. Like you really thought that, oh, well, maybe this is just like a mask that's like painted onto his face. But no, it was a mask he put over his face. It was just a prosthetic plastic mask, but a rubber mask.
Yeah, exactly.
But he got a lot. He got a lot of emotion out of it, and I think that's amazing. I mean, we talked about how the new Jason was really, really good because he was. New Freddy sucked ass. Sorry, we love Robert Englund on the show. We don't like New Freddy.
Really? No, I never said that. No, don't put me with that. I like New Freddy. He was not the. He was not what made that.
Well, no, he wasn't the. Problem.
No,
it's
he wasn't
just, I'm just saying I wasn't a fan.
That's fine. Yeah. Okay.
That's the only thing I'm saying. I didn't see anything in this one about Michael Myers with Michael Myers that I did not like that he did.
Yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah, I mean this Michael wasn't bad. I mean, it's honestly and I'm not trying to take anything away from Michael Myers, but you're a big dude that wears a William Shatner mask and just beats ass. It's not really that hard to do. And, like, you just get any big, like, stunt coordinator, like, any actor ever, and just, like, put this mask on and fucking
tack it up. Yeah, but that's the thing. Rob Zombie will not use stunt people.
No.
No, he does not do that, people. He will not use a stunt person in a movie. He sees it as an insult, actually. In all of his films that he has done, never has there been a stuntman used.
Yeah.
He always tells people, if you can't do the stunts, well, then that's fine. We'll pick up someone new. Bye. Have a great day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even the girl that played Lori, she had several physically enduring parts. And he told her straight out, jump in the empty pool and hurt yourself or get fired.
Yeah.
But I'm not hiring you a stunt double. I'm either going to hire a different Larry Strode or you're going to do this. And hats off to her. She did it. Because that's very scary, looking at a in-ground 12-foot-deep pool that's empty that you have to fall in. That's scary.
Yeah. My first question to you is, because we were on the beginning, do you think that his chance, because even though the second half of this film, after Baby Michael and all that bullshit, him breaking out everything, it does kind of take place in suburbia with the teenage kids, and that is kind of very what the original was.
And they did a lot of classic shots, too.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. But my question to you is the beginning, because Michael, little Michael, from the first one, the John Carpenter one, it looked like he had good parents, a good life, you know. It didn't look like he was anything. Do you think switching it to the trailer park background and making him a damaged soul
Absolutely.
And white trash and everything, do you think that worked better or worse?
Absolutely. I would say that worked 100% better for the film because that made you feel for him. That brought you into his world a little bit.
But what
maybe a little bit of a...
What about the people that'll tell you that it takes the mystery away from Michael Myers and he belongs with mystery? Because there isn't really much mystery here.
I get that. I completely understand that. I mean, and there is not a lot of mystery for the fans because we already know that Lori is related to him.
Yeah.
So it really does take the mystery out of it. But I will have to say, I like the suspense. I really like the score. You know, I'm a big score person. I really like the score. And I like the suspense. I like the fact that, like, he's here at one point and then the next point he's over there, but he's not doing anything supernatural. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
So, and honestly, I feel like that's what makes him scarier. Everyone's really afraid of, like, Freddy and Jason and the Candyman and everything else. I am actually afraid of Michael Myers because there's nothing more terrifying than a man with a knife that just snapped.
Oh, I agree. And I think, I mean, I've asked this question to a lot of people, a lot of my friends, just a lot of, you know, who's scarier, Michael and Jason or Michael, whoever. And they usually say Michael because he's so intimidating, because not just the big build, because Jason has that too, but he's got that scary, just like the way he walks up to
Nobody can slow walk like Michael Myers. No. I'm sorry, fight me. Try and change my mind.
No one can slow walk and also be able to access teleportation like Michael Myers. And float between scene to scene. It's like, how the fuck did he get there walking at 1.5 miles per hour? How the fuck did he just get all the way across the street?
Yeah, like, how did he get in front of her when he was chasing her? I will have to say that little bit of it is kind of comedic.
Oh, yeah, it's fine.
But that's also because we're horror fans. Mm-hmm. So we're not, I mean, it's just like when you go back to the new It movie, that was kind of a fail for me. I felt like that was really funny because of the one scene where the clown is running and very, very fast motion and he's screaming and he's supposed to be looking like a demon. To me, that was hilarious. I'm not going to lie. I creeped out a lot of people in that theater. I was laughing my ass off and everyone was screaming and I'm in hysteria laughing. But I see things differently. I saw that as too campy. Now, Michael chasing somebody through the wall and being able to punch through a wall and find out exactly where they are just because he punched through there, that's a little more scary to me.
Yeah. Now, you had talked about this movie doing good numbers earlier. You were very correct. $50 million budget, $80 million bring-in.
More than I said, people. I said I thought it made like $30 million.
Yeah. So it did very good numbers. 26% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes. So obviously,
which is pretty good for a remake.
It's okay. I mean, it's still rotten on the thing. Like, it's still not considered good. It's kind of mixed or under.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is the era of remakes, and a lot of people were quick to shit on these things still. At least it felt like it. Because a lot of them, like, we've been looking back, like, a lot of them aren't that bad. Like,
exactly.
Some of them were pretty good.
But they all fell into the realm of, oh, well, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And why doesn't Hollywood have any really good ideas? And I don't really think it was about that. I think that it was about somebody wanting to tell a story differently.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with diving into a mythos or a fandom or, like, a legacy and trying to change it up and make it different. And
mm-hmm.
I think this one tried to do that a lot.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I enjoyed some of it. Now, do you think, because a lot of the reason this movie got made, because after Resurrection, the franchise was in pretty limbo. I know you have a soft spot.
Well, Resurrection came out in 99, so that's actually wrong, because then they did H2O in 2000.
H2O was before Resurrection?
Yes.
Or no, it was after.
It was right after. It was the year after. And then, as far as anyone was concerned, Michael was gone. And then this was basically the return of Michael.
I don't think that's... Resurrection's a sequel to H2O, man. But that's all good. All
right. Sorry, guys. I got proved wrong for once in my life.
It's all good. Just because I got the laptop right here. But H2O, I mean, H2O is known as, like, kicking it off again. It's like, oh, this is really good. And Resurrection's kind of a franchise killer a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't really see Brandy being in a...
Yeah.
Scary movie.
I'm a Busta Rhymes fan as much as anything.
Busta Rhymes.
But the fact that he was in fucking Halloween. So do you think Because after they did this, because then they did Freddy versus Jason, Dimension Films, that owns all this shit. And they were thinking of doing a Pinhead Michael Myers. They were thinking of doing a Pinhead Michael Myers. They were thinking of doing a variety of things. Do you think a reboot was the way to, not a reboot, but a remake was a way to go? Or do you think they should have did something else?
I like the way they did this because, yeah, it was a remake, but it sprinkled a little bit of a prequel on there. I find myself all the time comparing this movie a lot to Hannibal because of the prequel content in it. Basically, before Mr. Zombie, we didn't have a director that was willing to make a backstory for Michael. And he did. And honestly, yes, I agree with Billy and Stu from Scream. It is scarier when there is no motive. Yeah. But I do feel like we as the fans have a right to know what happened to that person. What made that person who he was.
Yeah, I just think, like, I was cool with Michael not having that because I feel like everyone else did. So, I mean, I was like, you and me have talked about this, and we disagree on this, obviously. And
yes, people, we do disagree every once in a while.
Sometimes.
Rarely.
The beginning is not my cup of tea. I love the second half of the movie. The second and third act of the movie is really good, and I think it recaptures the magic, and Rob Zombie does it well and puts it in a new age in a good way.
This man, he is such a perfectionist. People, I went and watched this documentary on this movie. It was 4 hours long. Yeah. And it was mostly because of Mr. Zombie. That man, oh my goodness, he is such a perfectionist. I mean, and it's great, but like it led to 40 days of filming.
Yeah.
He had kids. Well, not kids that are related to him, but he was filming with children.
Well, and you told me that it took a toll on him, too. And obviously, I mean,
took a toll on everybody.
Well, they're taking one of the most famous characters in horror history, and you got to do something new with it. Obviously, that's a stressful experience.
Absolutely. And also with me saying that he has no, basically no respect for stunt doubles. He doesn't think they should exist or anything. That makes the film even that more physically demanding.
Yeah.
There's a star, and
Zombie wrote this thing. Like no one else. There's not another script writer.
Nope.
This is all Rob Zombie's vision,
yep.
And this is what he wanted to do with Michael Myers. So if anything, you're getting a clear vision. You're getting what he wants. There's nothing else. This is what Michael Myers. This is what Zombie thinks Michael Myers should be.
But that's also why we brought up that if you like Rob Zombie's work, you'll like this movie, because it is a very, very zombie-like movie.
100%.
Yeah, it's definitely his creation.
All right, let's talk about some bullshit. How did he find the mask that many years later in an abandoned, burned building, like in rubble?
Well, it was his house.
Still, how
he
did
put
he
it under a floorboard. It
That's
was his house. He had the perfect keeping. Do you really think they were going to let him take it after he killed his sister in it? Yeah, here's your mask. There you go, sweetheart.
There was nothing wrong with finding it in a store, like in the original, or in a window, because that's how he found it in the original, right? He just came back to town and saw it in a window, like that.
But also, let's double back here. The only reason the kid even got it was because his sicko sister's sicky-ass boyfriend wanted to have sex with it on. Who wants to have sex on with a silicone rubber mask?
It's called foreplay.
It's called disgusting. You realize how nasty the thing's going to smell?
I mean, he paid for it. He never even got to finish his ham sandwich, poor bastard.
Yeah, ham and cheese sandwich after all that heavy lifting that he did.
Baseball bat to the head. That was a good one, too.
And also, I would really like to bring this up. They had that little boy have a baseball bat. They had him stand right next to the man that he killed, the boy.
Yeah.
And they had him curled up in a ball. And they had Michael hitting him with the bat. It was a real bat, too.
Really?
Yes. The zombie wanted it to look as real as it possibly could. But shout out to the little boy when he was getting put out in the cop car. Funniest thing I've ever heard a little kid ask Sergio Raptor, man. He asked the director if he could play his video games while he was in the cop car. And Rob Zombie's like, you just got done killing your entire family. You want to play 3DS? And he's like, yeah, you guys can't really see me. And he's like, oh my goodness, I've created a monster. Just sit back and put down and like put the game down so no one can see it. And then, yeah, you can play it. And that was just so humorous to me because that shows that he really was a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, but I really feel like this actor, the kid, did a really fantastic job with what he was given. That's the thing. You've got to remember, he was given the stuff.
Well, the stuff that I don't like about the beginning doesn't have anything to do with little Michael. I think the kid did fine. And the thing in the woods with the spy kid, to me, that was one of the most chilling parts of the movie.
Yes.
And, like, that was, like,
it
intense.
It was so suspenseful.
And it was deep. And the fact that you're watching Michael's insanity leave him, you already know he kills animals and shit. You know the kid's fucked up. But the fact that he has a second where he might save his life, but then he sees that flyer that the kid had.
Of his naked mother.
Of his naked mom, and the kid was using it to be a piece of shit. And he's like, you know what? Put the mask down and keep swinging with the branch.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my God, this is so, like, real and intense. And it's like, this shit happens every day.
It's so emotional.
Yeah, this shit happens every day.
It really does.
People get made fun of for their parents.
People get picked on, made fun of every day. And then every once in a while, you have that person that snaps.
Yeah.
And this story makes that very real.
Yeah.
Because it is a real thing. It happens. But this concreted it to be even more realistic.
Yeah, Zombie opted out for mystery, and he opted in for more dramatic storytelling, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Realism and dramatics.
Which is fine. I mean, it puts a lot of layers on this movie that I think it needs, or else it would feel like a rehash.
The only thing I'm going to say, people, though, don't watch the second one.
No, I don't like the second one.
It's such a headache. You're going to have to watch it like 10 times to find out what's going on.
Yeah.
Trust me, we had to just end it with the first one and pretend that that was it.
And to me, that's when it really turned into a Rob Zombie, like, jerk fest. Like, all the bright colors and all the fucking buffoonery.
And the hallucinations.
Yeah.
And the ghosts and the pony. What, like, where were there wasn't even a pony in the first one.
Yeah. That didn't feel like a Halloween movie. This one does, still.
Yeah.
He keeps up the energy enough and the music, and, like, it does feel Halloween to the core.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Let's get into some cool deaths. Avi, I know your favorite, but why don't you tell the people, because it involves a man that also goes by the name of Machete and one of people's favorite actors.
All right, so this is one of my favorite kills. And it's not really because of the way that it happens. It's because of the emotion behind it.
Yeah.
So Danny Trejo is in this movie. I believe that's his name. Please tell me that's his name.
That works. Either that or Trejo, but I think that works.
Okay. Well, either way, he had a character that was completely opposite. And Mr. Zombie actually mentioned that this is something he likes to do. He likes to take someone's personality and make their characters a complete different side of what they would actually be.
Yeah.
And Danny Trejo is Machete. I mean, he is very much known as a kick-ass bad guy.
Yeah, action star.
But in this, he's more of a kind-hearted soul, who's a security guard who has a bond with a little boy who he knew for 18 years or 20 years.
Yeah.
And been taking care of him and just shown his masks and brought into his world. And just him crying and pleading and being like, I took care of you. I did everything I was supposed to do. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah.
It was very, very emotional.
Oh, yeah.
For me, honest. It was very emotional for me. As far as the best kill, that would be my best kill on emotion. But the best, just like nitty gritty kill, would have to be Paul when he was screwing Annie.
Yeah, he got fucked up.
That is so creepy. Having sex with somebody and having some random guy show up and kill your sex partner while he's in you. Like, they were having sex. People, like, intercourse was happening, things were in other things. and he killed the man, and he was still in the poor girl. Like, that's petrifying. It was petrifying.
Yeah.
But she's a great actress. I love Danielle Harris. She did a couple Halloween movies, actually, when she was little.
Yeah.
She played Jamie Lloyd. She played Laurie Strode's daughter.
Yeah.
And which was really weird. It was in The Curse and then The Return.
Yeah.
She did 4 and 5.
And also Urban Legend.
Yeah.
We love that movie.
She did Urban Legend. She was one of the first people that died. She was a goth girl.
Yeah.
Also, she did a few episodes in Charmed. A couple in Buffy. Danielle Harris is just a really good... I'm not going to say she's a screen queen.
No, but
she's good at horror.
Yeah, she did some good stuff in the genre. She was the goth girl, so she was the one that was banging, that was like, and she was screaming loud. Well, she wasn't banging, but she was screaming loud, so she thought she was... That was the best scene in the movie. Good for her. I love that part of it.
Yeah, aren't you glad that you didn't turn on the light?
Yeah, that was like the best part of that.
Because she got mad at her the night before because she was screaming like that, having sex, and she turned the light on.
Yeah.
So the roommate really thought, oh, well, she's just having a kinky ass sex.
Exactly. Now, while...
Sorry, people. We go off base.
Well, I think we're still kind of on it, to be honest. Laurie Strode is one of the greatest scream queens of all time, mostly because of Jamie Lee Curtis, but just, I mean, the character is known in horror. If you had a Mount Rushmore of scream queens, like we've said before, she's on there.
Mm-hmm.
Scout Taylor Compton had a huge role to try to be the next Laurie Strode for the new millennium.
Big shoes.
How'd she do?
I think she did really good, honestly, because of the way that everything was tweaked and changed. I mean, she did amazing. I mean, honestly, whiny gets on my nerves. It really does.
Yeah.
But she did it in such a way where you're rooting for her. You're like, come on, honey. Come on, keep going.
Yeah.
Keep screaming. Someone's got to hear you. Someone hears this poor girl. Come on. Like, you root for her. Excuse me. And I feel one of the main reasons you root for her is because she is very much the girl next door.
Yeah.
She's not a cheerleader. She's not slutty. She's very much so into homework and babysitting and stuff like that. So it was interesting to see a girl in the store also that has glasses and everything be targeted. Because honestly, as a girl with glasses, we don't have that many girls with glasses that are final girls.
Ooh.
No. And she was one of the few. And I liked her performance. In the second one, I think she took the depression a little bit too far.
Yeah.
But I understand it. Everyone died in front of her. But still, in the first one, she did great. And also, I would like to mention here, she was only 17 when she did this. She actually turned 18 on the set. Rob Zombie went out and got her birthday cake.
Yeah.
And sang to her and stuff. Because she made a joke that if they were still filming, he was going to have to sing happy birthday to her. And they were, so she did. They filmed for a very, very long time, very long shoot, about 35 to 40 days. Very, very long.
Yeah.
Very chock full. Call time was around between 7 and 10 a.m., and they didn't end until about midnight. So it was a very, very hard-hitting process. Also, this girl, she didn't really do much before this,
no.
I believe. So to come in basically fresh, and to have to play this character that not only someone else has played before, but somebody thrived in before. That's really difficult. And do I feel like she filled the shoes? Not really, because I don't really think Jamie Lee Curtis is replaceable. That's a hard question for me, because I don't really think she can be replaced. I think everyone will always know her as Laurie Strode. I mean, and she's also done a lot of horror work in the 80s. That was her thing. She did that. She did Fog, The Fog. She did Prom Night.
Yeah, I mean, she is the scream queen, but, and I think that's why the remakes kind of work more for me.
Mm-hmm.
And passing the torch to, like, her granddaughter in a meaningful way. Yeah,
we get to a different dynamic.
Instead of just saying, this is the new Lori, this is the new final girl, this
exactly.
is the way it's going to go.
I will have to say, though, people, I love you, all of you that are listening right now. If you want a good nitty-gritty gore horror movie, this is the one for you.
Yeah.
If you want an action, suspenseful movie, go check out the one from 2018.
Yeah.
That's going to be in your
To me, that's still a proper sequel to the first one, though.
Absolutely. But like I said time and time again, to me, not really a horror movie.
Not the scariest.
More
no,
of an action thriller.
One out of 10, how scary is this?
Honestly, the Rob Zombie Halloween, when I first saw it,
yeah.
it was really scary. I would give it a 7.
Really?
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me between the dark lighting and the scoring and everything together. It was just, it was beautifully done.
It was well done, yeah, I agree. Now,
what would you give it?
A scariness, because we're going to rate it at the end, but scariness, you know, it's hard. I mean, I'm just like you. It's hard to scare me. Sometimes a good old jump will get me, but I'm not really a big... I don't love gore in horror movies, you know that, but gore doesn't scare me, really. Like,
yeah.
when I see it, I'm just like, oh, okay, it's there.
But you can appreciate a good gory moment.
Oh, I love gory kills and everything, but, like, Hostile, that's not obviously not for me.
That's torture porn,
yeah.
people. Sorry, if you like Hostile and all that stuff, to each their own, but
yeah.
I'm not with it.
If Michael Myers can get a good gruesome kill, I'll enjoy it. And I think this movie's chock filled with them. The kills are not something I have a problem with here.
What was your favorite kill, by the way?
I like the way, I'm going to go a twofer, even though it was kind of, but I like the way he disposed of the parents. Also because it's a good story beat of Lori's parents.
Yeah, because it's like he went home to look for Lori.
Yeah, and just the way he fucked them up. And I guess it was the whole sequence after where the cops called and, well, they're dead, so they're not able to pick up
the
phone.
And
the
answer machine's going off, and they're
yeah.
like, you've reached the Strode family.
And now it's like, all right, well, Lori's life, as we know it, is over, and now she's going to be in this deep thing with Michael Myers. And I thought that just, it picked the story up, and it made it, after that is when I was on the edge of my seat. When this rewatch Friday, when I was watching it, right when that happened, I was like, all right, it's getting good. That's when I kind of lunged up, and I was like, all right. This is starting to get really intense now. And it,
and it also stayed very true to the Michael does not kill kids.
Yeah.
I will have to say that. It stays very true to that trope. Now, in the 2018 one, he did kill a kid.
He's killed a kid
he was
before,
more
right?
of a teenager than a kid.
Yeah, the little
but
boy.
But he did kill a kid.
Resurrection was victim of a kid kill too, right? I don't know for sure, so I don't want you to quote me.
I don't think so, honestly. I think they were more teenagers.
Yeah, I think it happened one other time.
And I don't believe he ever killed Jamie.
I mean, we're talking 12 other movies, so I mean, we'll
get back to that. Yeah, people
are
going to
let us.
You're
going
to have to let us Google that real quick, because we don't know everything in the world.
Yeah.
We know a lot, but we don't know that much. But, I'll have to ask you, Daniel, what do you think was the scariest scene for you?
The scariest scene? We'll get back to it a different time. Yeah, it's okay. But the scariest scene for me, I like when he kidnapped her at the end and brought her to the house.
Oh, when he drove her through the car window?
Yeah.
And she asked if he was the boogeyman?
Yeah, and he's being so brutal and violent, you know, and he knows this is his little sister, too, and it's like, wow, this dude's fucked up.
He's trying to get her to listen, though.
I know, but it's just
he's
so
creepy.
He's
trying to get her to stop screaming and understand. That's why he has the picture.
Yeah. It's so creepy and atmospheric, and that's what in these movies that really get, if you can get a good atmosphere around and, like, just the fog around, or just like the creepy
music. Oh yeah, you were so scared of her. Absolutely, because
yeah.
she was one on one with them. She had no one there.
And the only guy, and
it was literally her and him.
And I will, because we got to talk about Loomis here, because we have a totally drastically different. We had a drastically different Loomis. We got the author, the book deal, the money maker. That not everyone,
the mogul,
they don't trust him as much as they used to. Even though he was always batshit crazy,
He made money off of Michael.
Yeah.
He showed that he made money off of Michael. He exploited him.
They make him a male Gale Weathers. I think you said it yesterday.
Yes, I did, actually. And that is very true for me. I will say that time and time again. I do not like the way that they had Malcolm play this Loomis.
Yeah, you're talking one of the greatest actors.
And I love Malcolm McDowell.
Yeah.
I love him.
He's awesome.
But I don't feel the way he played Loomis was right.
Yeah, just the whole direction around that character was something I wasn't too happy with, but I like it in a sense because when all this is happening with Laurie, you're like, no one's going to be able to see her because this Loomis is an asshole that only worries about himself.
But then he does come and clutch at that.
Yeah, he does. He does. Now, as we're kind of getting towards the end here because we've
I do have to say one thing real quick, people.
Oh, there's still more to get into, I was just saying.
Because this is really funny. I'm just saying this because we're in the basement or attic scene or whatever.
Yeah.
In the attic scene, it was the first time that Scout had met the man playing Michael Myers, who is...
Tyler Mann.
Sorry, people. And it was the first time they ever met each other. And they did the scene where he showed her the picture and she was trying to coerce him into thinking that she was going to help him, and she stabbed him. Production gave Scout the wrong kind of knife. So she actually stabbed Michael Myers. Like, she stabbed him hard. She was running away and they were trying to figure out why he wasn't getting up and going after her, and they found the blood in there. Oh, okay, we need to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
So, that is one downfall, though, to having everyone do their own stunts.
Oh, for sure.
So,
yeah.
And he did fire, actually, a special effects coordinator, the one that gave her the wrong knife. He fired him.
Yeah.
Because that's just unacceptable. But you got to be able to know what's real and what's not.
Tyler didn't get hurt drastically, though. Right?
No, he got a wound.
Yeah.
He said he had about 6 stitches. It wasn't that bad. He was able to start filming the next day. He just thinks it was really funny that he got stabbed by Laurie Strode.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing about it. And I think it's kind of funny, too, because you don't really hear a lot about the accidents behind horror movies. But there is a lot. I mean, look at The Crow. He died.
Yeah. I mean, we did an episode on the archives about Brandon Lee and that whole thing. So definitely check that out. And you're talking about a big, burly ex-professional wrestler. He was in WCW, you know. Tyler Mayne.
He's 7 foot tall.
Yeah, 7 foot tall. Well, so 6 foot nine. He played Sabretooth in X-Men. So he was in the Scorpion King. So this is a big, burly motherfucker. Yeah.
He is scary when they have all the dirt and blood on him and his hair hanging down and whatnot. He's scary.
Yeah, this Michael is ruthless and scary. What was your lamest kill?
Her friend, not Annie, the other one, her friend's boyfriend, or the guy that she was fucking in Myers' house.
The baseball bat.
The ghost.
Oh, the ghost. It's kind of the rehash of the...
In the beer.
Yeah.
He was going to get it.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a rehash of, like, Judas.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
I really didn't like that.
I wasn't that into that.
I wasn't that into it. I also feel like, honestly, it was their opportunity for a tit shot.
Yeah.
So that's why they did it. Because the girl wanted her beer. So...
Now, before I get kind of into the ending monologues,
what
here,
is your lamest kill?
My lamest kill?
Yep, she's not that far.
Well, no, I'd probably agree with that. To me, this had so many good kills. That's why I just asked you that because I know my kills too, and I love them. But I really liked most of the kills in this movie because I'm not sure. Like and the shitty part is like I'd have to go Trejo just because like. But that's all, like you said, it's the best emotional kill. But to me, it's like he just drowned the motherfucker.
Yeah, it's not the best physical kill.
Yeah.
But it is the best emotional.
Yeah, so it's really, so I'd probably have to agree with you, because it was kind of, or the boyfriend getting hit by the two cars, maybe. That was kind of lame.
Yeah, that was really
the best, the fucking, how is that going to happen? I know that happened in one of the sequels, too, but yeah, that was probably one of my lamer kills. Is there anything else that you really want to get into, any other backstory stuff, before I ask you the last couple?
I just want to say I really loved how they flashed in the little bit of John Carpenter, like how they had her him stalking her, walking home from school. He was also looking at her while she was in school in the library. I like how he did the whole stalking thing with Annie and she didn't know he was there while she was making the popcorn.
Yeah.
Because that was a throwback to the original. And I love a good throwback. And it wasn't too in our face, honestly.
No.
Like, if you hadn't seen it, you would have just thought it was a cool scene. But if you see the original, then you're going to be all hyped up about it, like somebody like me.
Yeah. No, that was real good. What are you going to rate this movie 1 out of 10, Mindy? 1 out of 10, should we say butcher knife? Because I guess it's...
Yeah, we're going to go with butcher knife.
1 out of 10 butcher knives. What are you giving this?
Like I said, when I first saw it, I gave it a 7. It still holds up for me to this day, so I'm going to say about a 6.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That was my rating, too. I actually was going to be a little nicer and go 6.5, so I'm surprised I have a better rating.
Yeah.
But because, like I said, there was a couple
things
that didn't
work. It was
scarier
when you first see it.
Yeah. There was a couple things that don't work for me. I mean... I'm not a huge fan of the backstory. I do think it's somewhat necessary, but I think it could have been done differently. I'm not a huge fan. The stripper mom and all that bullshit, like, it was cool, but it's like, no offense, Rob. You're just trying to show off how hot your wife is.
Actually, she had a really hard time doing that.
Really?
Oh, yeah. She had a very hard time doing it. They had to start it over, like, 4 or 5 times.
What?
She's actually very self-cautious about herself. She has a very bad self-esteem problem.
She is shaking her moneymaker in every movie I've seen her in with
it. I know, but she has to prepare herself to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot.
Because she says it's really hard for her to do it. It was also very hard for her to play a mother, because even though she's been married to Mr. Zombie for 15 years, they never had kids.
Yeah. No, she's, I think she played her role. Yeah, she did okay. I mean.
Second one, not so much.
No, she is whatever the, is it baby doll?
Baby Firefly.
Yeah, she is baby Firefly.
And
when I just look
too.
At her, it's like, that's all I saw was the Devil's Reject in this, when I saw her. It's like, you're fucked up too. I can't feel bad for you. You're fucked up too.
I know, with that little dance that she does. Oh my goodness. I'm not even going to repeat it because it's so inappropriate.
Yeah, no.
But, my God.
She added a little something to it. So now I went 6.5. You went 6. The last question I'm going to ask you here before we go home, Mindy. And it's something I've asked with these remakes time and time again. Does the story need to be continued? Now, we got a second one. So the story was continued. We said how we felt about that.
I hated it.
Do you think that this could have been a trilogy? Would you want
no.
to see the third thing? And
absolutely not,
no.
unless they did the second one better. Unless they had a better story than him and his white horse and trying to return back to his mommy with his sister.
Yeah.
That was so stupid. So, like, if they had a better storyline for the second one, then I would have been, honestly, I would have been chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
And been really ready for it and very excited. But the second one really ruined it.
Okay.
But this was Scaredy Cats. I think we're about done.
Yeah.
Everyone have a great rest of your week. Be safe, sanitize, wear a mask, all that bullshit. And we will see you next week when we are going to start our April Fool's Day marathon.
What are we doing, Mindy?
This upcoming Sunday, we are going to be tackling, I think we agreed on, Velociraptor.
Yeah.
Which is actually about a pastor that... It's bit by a fossil from a velociraptor bone, and he becomes velocipaster.
So that's going to be fun.
Yes. It's horrible, but it's funny.
So make sure to tune in for that next week. This is Scary Cats, Mindy, and myself.
Have a great night, everybody.
Absolutely.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires.